Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores, Director of Marketing and Development for AFI, with Peter Raber, President, Grand Poobah,
General Bum.
So, we fired Brian. I'm just kidding. He's on vacation. I know everyone just gasped.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you can't fire Brian.
He's the lovable one of
He's the lovable one. But we have replaced him with someone more educated, better looking, and just all around better person.
Wow, I'm blushing over here, Josh.
What? How's that for an introduction?
I'm loving every bit of it. Is there more?
We've got Robert Ingram, General Counsel, Tax Advisor for AFI Advisors. We don't see Robert very much. He's back in a hole somewhere.
Yeah, behind all my papers.
With a bunch of papers.
LaCroix.
And LaCroix. Who even drinks that?
I'm trying to get sugar out of the diet.
LaCroix.
That's right.
Just drink water.
Well, those bubbles are so nice.
Can't hide money, evidently. It's like, I don't drink regular water.
But when I do.
I drink.
Have you tried the canned just water? It's Liquid Death is the brand, and it's just water.
I see people with those cans. There's a bunch of YouTubers I've seen with those cans. I don't even know what it is.
It's water in an aluminum can.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was alcohol.
It's 100% branding. I'm surprised you don't know about it. It's pure marketing.
I will say I've tried it. I actually liked it. And I don't know if that's I've been conditioned to drink carbonated sodas out of a can. So it's got kind of that aluminum taste, you know, a little bit, you know, on the lips. But it's better. Like, I'm not a big water person. I'll admit that I like the water out of the can.
But water's always better with a little bit of aluminum taste.
Apparently. It's kind of like you know, in Spaceballs, where he has the canned air.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, how is it expensive?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like $1.70 for a 16-ounce can.
Hmm.
So, wow. Yeah, it's for just water.
Okay. I mean,
do have a couple flavored ones. They've got like a lime and a mango, but they've got just pure water.
I don't remember. I had one in here several weeks ago that Peter had over there. Do you remember the name of
that? Oh, yeah. You've got those too, Robert. What the polar
it was
ice so. Or yeah, something
the
like
polar
that.
Polar seltzer water.
Seltzer water.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
And it was flavored like blood orange or something.
Oh, yeah. It tastes like a dumpster.
I loved it. It was so good. That's what I'm used to drinking.
Go back and listen to that episode. I think we said that Robert would like it.
So I made a public announcement for everyone not to buy this. And I gave them
the anti-advertising.
I gave them so much brand recognition in a terrible way. And then Peter's right. I do remember this. He's like, I'm sure some people like it. I'm sure Robert likes it.
That's why we document.
I'm like,
right?
Mikey, I eat everything, you know?
Well, this is first time being back since Thanksgiving.
Did y'all eat too much like I did?
I did. I had a lot of food, and I'm sure Robert did as well. He was sharing before we left for Thanksgiving about how his family makes, what was it, dirt bread?
Oh, goodness.
What's dirt bread?
It's called salt rising bread.
Oh.
It's particular to Appalachia. It's a thing that we do. When you don't have yeast, this is what you do. And it has this distinct flavor, and if you had some, you would love it.
Well, bring it in.
It's something that my mother makes, and it's something that I haven't learned how to do yet, but we're in the process of working on that.
Well, save those recipes. Yeah. So many recipes get lost. And to me, those are some of the things, you know, like when they say, you know, if your house was burning down, what would you go grab? And, you know, everybody always says photos. Go get those family cookbooks, because those, you know, there's some stuff in there that I have no idea how to make some of the things that my parents made, and I miss them.
But all your photos are on your phone now or in the cloud.
I have a lot.
Well,
of
the
photos
recipes
need
to be there too, I guess.
Except for Peter's, his entire family's albums since coming over on the ship or over in the...
Well, when you inherit an entire house full of albums, I actually looked through and I was showing the boys. My mom had done a photo album, you know, with that, I don't know the type of paper, but it's that clear kind of plastic paper that you fold over, put the pictures in, then you fold it back for photo albums. Every single Christmas since 1981, like the decorations of the house, the meals, the tree, and it went all the way through, I think, 2015.
Yeah, I believe that.
And so, you know, having stuff like that is, you know, priceless.
Yeah.
But if you don't scan it in and then it's fire, it's gone. So I just have too many to scan.
Robert, what was your favorite dish for Thanksgiving since you weren't able to partake in this conversation prior?
By far, pumpkin pie is the best thing out there.
Talked about that.
I make my own. There's an Eagle brand sweetened condensed milk recipe that I have found is the best for a traditional pumpkin pie. And I made two of them, and I ate one of them all by myself.
Oh, my God.
there's no shame in that.
Well, sometimes, you know, I eat my feelings, so that's the...
cold, I assume, though, right? You got to have it cold?
Well,
you gotta
I can
have it cold.
Balance back and forth. Like, sometimes I want it cold, sometimes I want to warm it up in the microwave afterwards, so...
Cold is the only right answer.
You let it get cold, you know, after you cook it, and then the question is, how do you want it after then?
Right.
A day later from the fridge, like as cold as possible.
I actually tend towards putting it in the microwave like 15 seconds or so and getting a little
I think
warm.
I'm with you. I like to go back and forth, just kind of, it's like you're eating something different each time.
It's got a different mouthfeel.
It does. Total different mouthfeel.
So
and
bad.
Then it does different things with the whipped cream that you put on top too. So
because if it's warm,
warmer,
it kind of melts,
it,
kinda
melts it a little bit, and you got that added goodness in there. Yeah. So.
Well, did anybody have anything crazy happen over Thanksgiving? You know, house caught on fire, family got in a fist fight, cops were called. Anything crazy? No. I'm really trying to boost our ratings here. So
I got to see my youngest nephew for the first time. That was great. I got to hold an infant for the first time in a long time. So I've got five children, so I'm used to seeing kids running around, and they have sort of grown up, you know, and I haven't held an infant.
Does it make you want more now?
Well, you know, Manny and I, we would be good baby farmers, and we could keep working at it, but we've decided to stop that. So, unfortunately, that's off the table.
That ship has sailed.
It has, yeah. Interventions have been made. You know,
I've got so many questions, but I'll ask you later.
Well, I think you know. We've got three, and we stopped after our first set of twins, and Robert was a little bit more of a risk taker, you know, so once you end up with a second set of twins, that's
two set of twins.
We had no idea that there was a statistical probability for having another set of twins, but I guess we didn't really look into it. That our chances were actually better for a second set of
twins. You should now be like combing through the Guinness Book of World Records scene. What records you guys could set with two sets of twins? I'm sure there's something.
Oh no, people are having kids all the time.
Well, no,
that's
I don't mean just by having them. I mean this record was accomplished by these two sets of twins. It's like they're a team.
Oh, gotcha.
It's like they're, you know.
Well, unfortunately, our twins are not the teamwork kind of twins. They are like polar opposites. They just kind of shared a space when they were inside the womb, and then when they came out, you know, they're different people.
So
it's the best type of twins. That's mine too.
The best I can kind of figure out Robert's household would be it's like Hunger Games.
That's it. Yeah, it's a lot like Lord of the Flies. You know, it's always anarchy, but you know. They have learned to survive, and so they are all into their own things, into their own worlds. Honestly, twins from separate twin sets have gotten along, mm-hmm. and that's how they work. They play together, but their own twin, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with them. But
I've got at least one more question for you. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, I guess I don't.
Okay, good.
He passes.
Then we don't have to dive deeper into that. Thank you.
we talked about that last week.
Is that something that Brian say? Well, maybe.
We got off.
I'm sure there are humans that look like Bigfoot.
We were discussing. This will show you how far off we got. We were discussing NASA and the what's that thing called? Optimus Prime.
The Orion spacecraft, Artemis.
Artemis.
Oh, I don't know anything about any of this stuff.
We're going back to the moon. It's the first. We've got three different missions. We're going back to the moon.
Holy cow.
It's out there right now.
Don't worry about it. All you need to know is they are using millions of dollars to do this.
Sure.
So then we went UFOs, and then UFOs went to Bigfoot.
Yeah, UFOs, which is a natural segue from, you know, a NASA-based conversation. And then I got this twitch, and I went on a Bigfoot rant because Bigfoot's not real. I even used the fake, like, explicit content beep to pretend like I was cursing, which I told everyone in the text there was no curse words on the show because – it's family friendly.
Sure.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
I feel like there's a backstory about Bigfoot with you.
No, it's just I can't. I have a hard time sitting and just watching ignorance.
But it's fascinating. Like
ignorance is fascinating.
The trail cameras and then the production value on finding Bigfoot. I mean, it's high. So I enjoy. Watching the insanity.
Well, we've got to. I can't. I've got to get off this topic, or we're gonna. It's gonna snowball really quick. But, you know, from financial news, I don't know if folks are familiar with FTX, which is a crypto exchange based group.
Yeah.
This guy, Sam Bankman-Fried. 30 years old, I believe, I read correctly.
Yeah.
So he's the founder of FTX, and I remember them vividly because they had some big-time kind of influencers
and advertisers
and marketers. I'm talking
Tom
Brady and
Larry David.
Larry David and Serena Williams, and I mean, these are big time people that you put in commercials, and they've just totally flopped.
And it's beyond that too. It's fraud.
It's fraud. Yeah.
It's fraud. So a little bit of the backstory is Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, I guess as he goes, and you know he's from that generation of. I'm going to wear T-shirts and shorts to things that everybody's wearing suits to because I'm just that cool and that type of thing. But he started a hedge fund in 2017, Alameda, and then he started FTX in like 2019. But then he put his girlfriend in charge of Alameda. He's the owner of both. And then they launched their own token, and that ended up being the value that was being reflected and functionally – very similar to Bernie Madoff Ponzi schemes. They were functionally taking client deposits at FTX and funding risky bets, funding this advertising, mm-hmm. doing all sorts of things that they shouldn't be doing. And then, you know, but for a while there, he was viewed as the savior of crypto. He was coming in buying up some of the companies that were going under because of Bitcoin's collapse from 60 some odd thousand to, you know, where we're at now in the low, I guess the high 16s to low 17s on Bitcoin. So, you know, he had been acquiring these things. And they were about the third biggest exchange where you could go and buy and sell all these different currencies. And they functionally it was a run on the bank. Once mm-hmm. people kind of figured it out, it was a run on crypto, and there's no regulations, you know, because the whole theory behind crypto is we want decentralization. We don't want to have regulators. We don't – well, this is what happens. And so the biggest exchange out there, Binance, actually came out and said, well, we'll buy you and basically save FTX. And then when they looked at the books, they were like, nope, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And billions of dollars.
Yeah, I think it was
stolen.
I don't know. I know that they, because I actually watched an interview that he did with Good Morning America, and he just looked so defeated. He knows he's in trouble.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He just looked like, he was like, am I going to go to jail for 15 years or like 40 years? That's where his head's at right now. So,
why he's still in the Bahamas right now.
Right, yeah, which I think is important to note. It's a Bahama-based...
Bahamian-based, but there's also some Delaware rules.
Okay.
And so there's currently a legal battle about where he's going to be and where this company is going to be tried. Right. But even the Bahamians are like, no. You know, and so to make the Bahamian government mad at you, you know, they're normally a little bit more laid back. But
you got to do something really terrible, because I've been to the Bahamas, and it's literally the most laid back group of people. I went on a cruise down there, and we ventured into kind of the market off the boat. We came in and we took a little taxi, which was like this really cool, like 80s moon van type thing. And we got to this stop sign or whatever, and I vividly remember looking to my right, and there was another guy driving right beside of us, and he's sitting at the red light or the stop sign, and he just takes this huge swig of his beer and then just keeps on driving. I was like, where are we at?
The Caribbean culture is just different. Different mindset, different rules.
Yeah,
we went to the Dominican Republic when Katie and I were 21. Her dad went down, and we stayed, you know, down there. And we drove from kind of the resort we were staying at to the capital, Santo Domingo. And I've never in my life roads were guidelines.
Yeah.
Like, I've used this phrase a lot lately, that things are pirate code, or they're more of a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
It was three lanes each way type highway, six cars across, like on one of those three lanes. And then if that got too busy, I'm just going to go over into the other side and cut across. Our van was hit by a truck, like it had rebar coming out the back, and it just scraped straight down the van. Nobody cared. You know, it's like, we're heading that direction. We're going to get there however we want to. And nobody had accidents, but it was just the chaos of it. But nobody seemed bothered by it.
Right.
I think we don't appreciate how most of the world is more like what you described as opposed to the United States.
Absolutely.
I spent some time in Russia, and it's the same way. Like, you know, the rules are suggestions, and you keep 500 rubles in your glove box to pay off the police officer, and everything's good.
Well, I also heard that it's really bad to urinate in public. In Russia?
It is, yeah. You can get arrested for that sort of thing.
you got to know the laws of the country that you're in. I mean, what was it? There was that kid who was caned because he put bubble gum in Singapore. You remember that story?
Oh, man, I'm glad that they didn't do that to me.
Yeah.
Because he put bubble gum what?
Like, it would be the equivalent of, like, if you were chewing gum and you're like, I'm done with this, and you put it, like, under a hand railing or something like that.
Oh,
and he was a young kid on a trip type thing, and he was caned. It was a huge story back when I was in high school.
I don't know that's not acceptable. I bet he won't do it again.
He won't.
Well, you know, they're really serious about following the rules, too, in certain countries, the more East Asian ones. Yeah, because they're like that.
Yeah. Well, it's the same kind of – well, it's not the same as bubble gum, but, you know, like with the whole Brittany Griner stuff where
she's stuck in Russia and will be for a long time.
Yeah.
Same thing with – what do they call it in you know, we've got all these protests right now in Iran where the morality police, you know, if women don't wear their, I'm going to butcher it, hijabs, the head coverings properly, they can be taken in. And, you know, that young, you know, woman died, and it set off massive amounts of protests in that country. So, you know, anytime governments try to control their people in such strict fashions, wow, my accent went weird on that one. But it creates potential for fireworks.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of that in China right now, too. Things kind of...
Yeah, the COVID policies, yeah. Have you seen the pictures? There's an apartment in China which houses... It's a factory apartment. It houses, like, iPhone production, I think.
Yeah, for Foxconn, yeah.
And they were closing it down, so all the residents, like, hightailed it out before they were going to get locked in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And government went in and is just chucking their belongings out the windows. And this is a high-rise apartment, and so there's a mound of possessions surrounding this building at least two stories high. Hmm. The pictures are wow. Unreal.
Wow. And I know they were having issues with the banks over there in China, too, where there was so much investment in real property that hadn't been built yet, and I guess all those companies are going bankrupt, and so people, you know, their life savings that they've spent on trying to buy an apartment have just vanished. And
gone.
So, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, tension and unrest over there, which I think has been affecting the markets a bit.
Yeah.
Well, to do a little bit of a pivot, I'm going to throw myself to the mercy of the group, and I'm going to use an example. And since we have Robert here, I thought it'd be a fun time to do this. So, Robert, I think, you know, I've been thinking about it over the years, and I don't think I need a will. I don't think I need to write anything down. I'm just going to, you know, kind of tell people what to do with my stuff and just trust that, you know, they're going to honor my wishes. You know, that's cool, right?
I would not recommend that. I do some estate planning here for our clients. We assist them with their estate planning. The state of Tennessee has created a plan for you.
Right.
If you don't have a plan on paper written down, signed, and witnessed, which is okay for some people, but we don't really know, and it's not your wishes. It's what the state has decided should be your wishes.
It might be different in 5 years.
Different in 6 months, 2 years, 5 years. The good thing about getting an estate plan done is that you get to choose what your stuff does. And in your situation, you've got a son, right? So if you were in a car accident and you passed away, your son would be the heir of your estate, but there would be a question of who holds the assets for your son, because your son is a minor. Like, you know, who can control the assets for your son to work for his benefit?
Mm-hmm.
And there could potentially be a big, you know, legal case about it with different family members that are fighting over guardianship over your child and who gets to control those things.
Well,
grandparents versus ex-spouses.
Yeah, yeah. I better say this because I do know that some of my family members do listen to this. I was joking about not having a will. So I just want to get that out there. That was just nothing more than like a desperate attempt at a funny segue, because Robert and I were, you know, talking about the estate planning stuff yesterday. Kind of in preparation for this. But I think it's really interesting, the whole fact that, the way you put it, that the state of Tennessee already has a plan for you, because I don't think many people know that.
Yeah, I think, you know, people just assume that, you know, either it's their kids or their spouse just automatically end up with the assets whenever they pass, and they don't need to think about it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it causes a big mess because everybody's assuming different things and they don't know the statutes that control where these assets go. And it causes headaches and problems and rifts between, you know, family members, and family members then don't talk to each other.
It'll destroy a family.
Especially if there's a lot of money there, yeah. You know. and everybody's feelings get hurt over what ultimately happens. So the best way to avoid all of that is to speak with an attorney, or just do your own research on Google and figure out like what you want to do. And then there are other services that are out there that you can look into. But here, I work with our clients. We try and come up with a plan that makes things as efficient for people's intentions as we can possibly do that. And we think about these things because, let's say you're older and you have kids that are, you know, adults, and that's probably the easiest situation if you pass away and you don't have a will. Well, one of those children may have issues, you know, drug abuse, or, you know, maybe they have mental health issues. And so
they're receiving government benefits,
or if they qualify for government benefits. And so if they automatically get that chunk of money from your estate when you pass, that causes a problem. You know, we've seen terrible situations where people lose their government benefits, or they just blow all that money in a lifestyle that is not good for them or the people around them. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be mindful of what our family dynamic is, and we need to tailor our estate plan accordingly. And you can only do that by thinking about it ahead of time. And, you know, a lot of people put their heads in the sand and they don't think about what's going to happen when they pass. And people don't like to think about that either.
Yeah, I think it's one of those – that's one of those topics that's really easy to say, I'm going to get to it, I'm going to get to it, and then it's just –
And then it never happens, right.
Yeah.
And we've had clients in that situation too where, you know, they got cancer, and then the cancer developed to a certain level where they, you know, aren't thinking straight anymore, and then
– Can't execute.
Yeah. The pie is already cooked at that point, and we can't do anything. I think the best thing to do for your family is to think about these things, because you don't want to leave a huge mess behind when you do pass. And I think it just should be a part of, you know, being a good family member.
Right. So just be a good family member.
Right. And, you know, a lot of things can be dealt with outside of a will. You know, you've got retirement accounts that you can put people as beneficiaries. You can have life insurance policies with people as beneficiaries. You can have accounts that are set up in other people's names so that when you pass, they have a right of survivorship to them. But the issue is that you want to make sure that you're coordinating those things with somebody that is familiar with what happens in different situations, so that you know, have a full plan for everything that happens after you pass. And it's important to talk to a professional about that. And we do that here at AFI. We help our clients out with, you know, all of their financial needs.
It's such a important thing, too, to continually review. You know, a lot of times people will create a will and then not revisit it ever. And then you get to the time of death and you're like, all right, well, my will says everything's going to my brothers. But you've since married and have kids and everything else, and you have an executed will. And so then it's up to your brothers to say, well, this doesn't make sense, because they've got legal rights.
That's, you know, right.
So you have to review these things. And even if you don't know all the answers, this is something I tell a lot of people, because a lot of times it's like young parents don't want to create a will because they're like, well, I want to choose a guardian of my kids because, you know, if we choose my parents, then my wife's parents are going to be mad at us or whatever. You don't have to have every detail in there, but, you know, the court's going to decide if you don't put it in there. But yeah, you can cover a lot of the other things that you should discuss in those documents. And
Yeah, you want to do as much as you possibly can to plan for the future, just like you do in everyday life. Like, this is just a part of life. Everybody passes.
Right.
I'm sorry that, you know, that happens, but it does. And so we need to be prepared for everything in the future as much as we possibly can.
Well, and I think that's why it was really important to me to address that, because I think there's an overwhelming kind of thought process behind wills of, yeah, that's something I'll do when I'm getting old and my time's coming. But I think, to kind of piggyback off what Peter said, you know, go ahead and get something going and then view it more as like a working document, not necessarily just this one-time infinite, you know, piece of paper to divvy up things. But I just think that a lot of people just don't know that. They don't know that. And the ones that do kind of know it, put it off.
That's right.
Until it's just too late.
Right. Well, just like, you know, we are as humans, you know, we're a work in progress. We're always trying to improve and make things better in our lives. The same thing with an estate plan. You know, you start with a little something. You know, if you're married, more than likely you're going to have a sweetheart will where everything goes to your spouse. That's, you know, that's important. Just to clarify, to make sure that there's no hiccups within the probate of your estate. And then once you have kids, then there's a question, you know, who's going to be the guardian? Should you have a testamentary trust that will take care of the children if you and your spouse both pass away? And then if things develop with your kids, you know, maybe there's special needs situations where, you know, you have a disabled child, and all these things work through a process, and it's good to have a professional that you can talk to about what needs to be done in these circumstances.
And a lot of times it allows the professional, in this case Robert, and or, you know, someone else here, to say the things that you don't want to say out loud. You know, so we can voice the concern. Well, have you thought about this? What are you considering doing for your kids? Oh, I don't know. You know, well, here's some of the things that we see, you know, because sometimes it's just such a daunting mm-hmm. task. And you don't want to be the one to say out loud, I don't think that my kid can manage this money, or I don't want my family member to have any access, or blah, blah, blah. And we can say, well, do you have any concerns about family members with abuse? And then they can say, well, you know, probably. And then we're like, okay, let us, you know, as we've said so many times on other things, let us be the bad guy. Let us, you know, be the person who, you know, can at least guide through so that you're not doing it alone. You're not worried about mistakes. And
right.
It's bad.
Well, I mean, if everybody's families were perfect, then estate planning would be so easy to do. But because, you know, most everybody lives in a quirky family that has all different types of people, it's good to have somebody that is asking those questions about, okay, what's going on with this particular person, and what do we need to think about when we're planning for that particular person? And so, yeah, a professional is somebody that you need to talk to about, you know, putting a plan together for you.
Yeah. So if you need a bad guy, call us.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to change this week's intro music to Bad Guy from Billy Island. Yeah. See how fast that gets a copyright stamp on it.
Oftentimes we are the bad guy. Yes, we're the ones that say no to people. We're the ones that don't.
But it's needed. Oftentimes it's needed.
But then we get a hug like 2 years later when they realize it was the right thing. Right. And they were just emotional at the time.
Well, you know, Robert, thanks for sharing all that. Like I said before, I think that's really important. And if anyone listening has some deeper questions, or maybe this just got you thinking that, hey, you know, this is something we need to address or get going with.
Or you like Robert better than Brian.
Or you like Robert better than Brian. We want to know that, too. We'll start a poll. Brian's going to be so mad when he listens to this. He's going to be like, really?
The dangers of taking the week
off.
Yeah,
you take the week off. You don't, I mean.
Turnabout is fair play.
That's right. That's right.
He's just as hard on us.
But if you have questions on this, just email us at connect@afiadvisors.com. We would be happy to set something up to chat about this. And if you just have general questions or other questions you want to have answered, here on the podcast, we're more than happy to do that. That's actually pretty safe. It keeps us from, you know, going too far deep into just ridiculousness, which we're guilty of from time to time. But be sure to follow us on all of our social media channels and go check out the website, AFIAdvisors.com. And until next week, Peter, Robert, I give you guys an A+ for effort. You did a good job.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it.
We may even invite you back. Also, I do need to, real quick before we, you know, hit the end button here, I need to let Robert know that, because we had to tell Brian this too, you're more than welcome to come in here and join us and participate, but you are not getting compensated more for this.
No, I really didn't. I didn't have an expectation.
Okay,
honestly.
Okay, good. I didn't. I just didn't want it to be awkward, like we got done, and you're like, okay, so how much did I just, you know, rake in for...
Well, I just like you guys so much, you know. I want to help you out.
I just know you lawyers like to charge by the hour for your... I wish everyone could see me doing air quotes. Time.
Yeah, this could be a billable hour.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, thanks, guys, and thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next week.